Okay, let us just bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, we have an afternoon service. We can fellowship with you again before you go home with us. It's all very good to have as the presence of the Lord in our lives. We know it's getting worse and worse in this world for people to remember you. But there are some that do. Currently, Lord, people that are watching on the internet, bless them. As you bless us, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us commence by singing 575, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name.
Master, Savior, Jesus. something about that name.
Sure is. Number 581, I saw love, mercy, and grace.
I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. I witness His beauty. I looked on His face. I saw love.
Another one, 548, from glory to glory, He's changing me. And then if there's any testimonies, we'd like to hear from you.
From glory to glory, He's changing me, changing me, changing me. His likeness and image to perfect me. God showed to the world, changing, changing, from earthly things to the heavenly, image to perfect in me, the love of God showed to the world, from glory to glory.
Likeness and image to perfect in me. The Lord has to do that. We can't be like Him unless He's doing it. Testimony time. Do we have anybody with a testimony? You may be seated at this moment. Any hands raised here? Sister Diane.
I just thank the Lord. I woke up this morning and my foot looked like a football and I couldn't walk on it. It was very, very sore. And I was sort of hobbling around getting a few things done and I thought, you know, this isn't necessary. I'm not going to the doctor. And I sat down and I was just going to thank Jesus for it. And He prompted me, but you haven't asked. And so I sat down and I said, Lord, in accordance with Your word, I'm asking You now, please just heal this foot and I thank You for doing it. And I then forgot about it, came to church, and it's pretty normal to me. but I really couldn't walk most of the day yesterday, and this morning it was terrible. So thank you, Lord. You're so faithful.
Brother Taru.
Thank you, Lord. I'm praising him for what he helping me to be still. You know, like the pastor said, it's a hard place to even keep still, but to try and do it every day. Well, only you can help me, Lord, do it. So thank you for them. That word he gave us, be still. I say, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Brother Taru. What about you, Brother Paul? You've got the microphone in your hand.
I've got a bit of a testimony this morning, this afternoon. The little Word for Today booklet that we read was one that we had, was actually yesterday's one, but I read it this morning. We were a bit late, but I was really touched by it. So I just want to read it out. And it's headed, Being Good. Good and upright is the Lord. How would you define goodness or the good life? French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau defined happiness as a good bank account, a good cook, and a good digestion. Some would say the good life is physical. They think it doesn't get any better than a long soak in a hot bath, a back rub, and a drink in the pub. And others would say that the good life is material. They think that if you have a mansion, a Mercedes, and money, that you're living the good life. But goodness isn't about feeling good, looking good, or having goods. It's about being good and doing good. And just like we need a clock to tell the time and a ruler to measure distance, we need a universal standard to determine goodness. And we have one, and that's God. God is upright in the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. That's from Psalm 25:8. Without a universally accepted standard for goodness, it becomes a grey area and a matter of opinion. Hitler thought that annihilating the Jewish race was a good thing. And suicide bombers think that killing innocent human beings is a good thing. Such thinking can be counted. Thinking can't be counted with the simple, that's not good. What's to keep Hitler and the suicide bomber from saying, oh, but that's just your opinion? The word good stems from the Old English word with the same connotation as God. It literally means to be like God. And goodbye is the shortened phrase of God be with ye. So the universal standard for goodness can only be decided by one who is universally good. And that one can only be God. Think about it.
The thing is that some people take things to God, but it's the wrong God. They don't realize that Jesus Christ is the one and only creator, the one and only God. The others are make-believe, that Satan often runs them. So, but anyway, thank you, Brother Paul. Any other testimonies? Okay, well, let's have another one while you remain seated. 566, flow through me, Holy Spirit. And we want that to happen, that's for sure.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify thy name,
Let's sing one more, then Brother Howard will come. Number 550 is It's the Life Behind the Name.
It's the life behind the name.
Turned it up, sister. There we go. Wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word this afternoon. From Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'd like to read from the Amplified Bible the same verse. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at an appointed season we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. May the Lord bless this word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we love your word. It's eternal. We thank you for it. And Lord, we just want to base our faith completely on what your word says. Help us, Lord, not to stray this way or that. But let us be stable in every way, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Bless each one here and those joining with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to entitle this, Be Not Weary in Well-Doing. Does anyone know what that means? Be not weary in well-doing. Is there ever a time we need to apply that scripture? I believe it's now. It's easy to be discouraged by surrounding circumstances. So easy. And it's also easy to become physically and spiritually weary at these times. However, God's word is exhorting us not to fall for this trap. So we want to speak about that today. May it bless us for a few moments. So what is to be weary and well-doing? When we look at the Greek word, got a Greek here with us, down there, it has a stronger meaning. Weary does not just mean to become tired. Weary in well-doing refers to our will weakening. Our will weakening. We lose the will to continue doing that which is right. But it's also connected to the last part of the verse, that we faint not. Now, this is really important. We don't want to be found fainted when the Lord Jesus comes. Faint not does not mean we fall down exhausted. Faint not means a relaxation of resistance. We faint, we're relaxing to stand against evil. We relax about things that are wrong. We don't stand up against it. As a result of giving in to evil, putting it together, we could say this: we have lost the will to continue serving God, and as a result become relaxed and exhausted as a result of giving in to evil. Our carnal mind could say, well, if nobody else is trying, why should I? Now, brother and sister, what a terrible thing to find when Jesus comes, and he could come in the morning. He could come this evening and find you relaxed. You don't have the same ambition and desire to serve him and to stand against that which is wrong. Knowing the time we are living, God's children should be wide awake to the hour we are living. We really should be wide awake. As Jesus said to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road, you remember the story of Cleopas? And Jesus drew near, and they were saying, oh, what's happened? Why did they crucify him? Why this? Why that? And after they were questioning Jesus on the crucifixion and surrounding events, in Luke 24:25 it says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, brother and sister, everything we see around us is in the scriptures, and it's warning us, and it's happening. When we see the conditions about us, we should be greatly encouraged. Greatly encouraged. Amen? Amen. And not discouraged. We know God's word is being fulfilled. As we being a part of the bride of Christ, we've been given light in the time of darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 4 says, but ye brethren are not in darkness. So the world's in darkness, but you're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The world hasn't a clue what they're doing, haven't a clue what's going on. But the children of God should be rested in the Lord. Wherefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be watch and be sober. Hallelujah. And God has sent us a watchman. I really believe that. A true prophet in our day. A watchman. He foresaw what was coming from the word of God. Isaiah 21 verse 11 says, the burden of Jeremiah. He called to me out of Sire, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? It's a question. And the watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. Hallelujah. And what Isaiah 21:11 says, oh no, I just read that. Yes. So this is a very amazing scripture, and so revealing of this hour. The morning is coming, but so is the night. Listen to this. The morning's coming, the brighter morning star's coming to take his children home to glory, and so is the darkness coming upon the earth. I don't want to be here. I just don't want to be here. It's always darkness before the break of day. Did you know that? You ever seen that? It's always darkness before the break of day. And at the time the morning star comes out, we're looking at last night. In the darkest hour, our morning star will come. And we know our morning star is coming to take us home. Hallelujah. Amen. Who's excited about the morning star coming? Amen. That is why it says, there shall be light about the evening time. In the darkness of the age, God sent the light of his word to prepare us. But the night cometh also, and we feel it. We feel the darkness around us. Those who have ignored the watchman cannot see the time. The prophecy, God is sending a great worldwide revival. That's what they prophesy. God's sending a great worldwide revival. The watchman said, this world is finished. Isn't that amazing? I think it's going to be a great revival. And the watchman, the prophet God, says, it's finished. This world has finished. I believe what the watchman said. The only thing left before judgment is his coming, the morning star. In Revelation chapter 22, 16, we read, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Who's the morning star? Jesus. Amen. And God has warned his people about the last day and what to expect. Just let's read again from Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So if he comes tonight, it could happen. Seriously, he's going to come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We should awake and not be weary in well-doing. Don't care what the world does. They're walking around in a dither. We should be careful how we live. Stay with the word of God. Don't compromise with sin. Stay with God's eternal word. But rejoice, for the morning cometh. Hallelujah. In Romans 13, verse 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. That means people are sleeping. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hallelujah. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice the consistency in the Word of God. The consistency, night and day. All the way through, night and day, darkness and light. It's just so amazing. And people are becoming impatient. Why is this? Why are people becoming impatient? Because the Lord delayeth his coming. They become impatient with one another. Now, here it is in Luke 12:43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. When he comes, he wants to see you doing something for him. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that first servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the maid servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. Don't we have another verse there? You have been worried. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. That's terrible to be a believer into an unbeliever because you weren't ready. You weren't awake. You weren't watching. May you help us, Lord. Notice, he was a servant of the Lord, but he became impatient. He became weary in well-doing, impatient unto the coming of the Lord, and lost his portion, and was put in with the unbelievers. Yes, he once served the Lord, Listen carefully. He once served the Lord, then become weary in well-doing. The scriptures tell us that in another way. In Matthew 24:12, we read, "And because iniquity shall abound, because sins shall be abounding in Gisborne, the love of many shall wax cold." The love of God in people will wax cold, get cold towards the things of God. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Hallelujah. The finishing line is in view. We're all running the same race. And we are also nearing the end. It is at the end of the race. The end of the race. People become weary and tired. They went so well. They went well. They ran well. What does hinder you, the Bible says. So we see. It says here, in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." Hallelujah. Don't quit, brother and sister. It's too late. It's too close to become weary. And it's not talking about getting tired, although we do get tired. That's not what it's speaking of. Tired of resisting sin. The saints from the banners of glory are crying out. Can you hear them? Keep going. Keep going. You're just about there. Who's going to go all the way? Amen. By the grace of God, we're going to go all the way. And they've already run. And they've already obtained. They're trying to say to us, keep going. Keep going. But they have need of us to complete the heavenly family. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," you just read that, the testimonies before this verse, "let us lay aside every weight," there's weights, "and the sin which doth so easily beset you, hold you back, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us." What doing? "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." He endured it. "Despising the shame," there was lots of that, "and to sit down on the right hand of the throne of God." What a mighty Savior. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Watch your minds. Don't take it for a ride. Don't listen to all your reasonings and all your thinkings and all comments of people. Don't do that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. So Jesus had to endure. Do you think Jesus was weary in his race of salvation for souls? He got weary in his race for your soul. He really did. He couldn't even hold the cross up. He fell down on the ground. That's in the physical. But how was he feeling in the spiritual? He fell down under the load of the cross. But he had overcome in Gethsemane. Jesus never promised any easy road for any of us, especially in this last day, but a blessed one. How do we overcome? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He understands Jesus had to run his race, and Jesus had to overcome, and so do you. We're all got to be overcomers to get to that throne. We can overcome too by keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus alone. In Revelation 3:21 it says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne," those that overcome, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. Yet sometimes the race gets heavy. Who believes the race gets heavy? Really does. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But we see the finishing line. And God has constantly warned us about weariness. Spiritual weariness. I don't know if I can keep this up. You don't have to keep anything up. He's already done it for you. You need to lean on him. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said. He that is weary, take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me. For my burden is easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. In Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. How many times have we started praying and fallen asleep? We've all done that. We all have. I have felt ashamed of myself. Lord, wake me up, slap me, do something, Lord. So we see here one of the preachers. He is one of the preachers, but really it is for all of us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid from them that are lost. If we hide our gospel, it's hid from those that are lost, your next door neighbor, whoever it may be. In Hebrews 3:14 we read, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Oh man, it's everywhere. Enduring. Keep going. Don't faint on the way. This is a wonderful scripture. And it's a sermon in itself in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Who has need of patience? I'll put two hands up. I qualify well and truly. For we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For ye little while, and he that shall come will come, hallelujah, and will not tarry. He won't tarry much longer. He's going to come. Are you going to be ready? Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, the Lord says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe the saving of the soul. Sometimes people nearly faint. When God brings a correction, he corrects and they nearly faint under the pressure. In Hebrews 12:5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh as unto children. We are his children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You get that fainty feeling when God corrects you. It seems that patience is so much connected with endurance. I need patience. You need patience. We're at the end. The people are falling by the wayside, one after another. In Revelation 2:3 we read, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Talking about fainting everywhere. It's too late to quit, brother and sister. It's too late to quit. Is that right, brother too late to quit. Saints, it's too late to quit. We have arrived at the end time. We're at the end time. This is what's going to happen. This is a confusion that's starting. It's just nothing to what's coming. Believe me. Believe God's word. Time is about to run out. God's word is being fulfilled to the letter. The world is sliding fast to destruction. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. He that shall come will come and tarry no more. Would you love him to come next week? Now, that's even better. May he come. I want to be ready. Praise the Lord. Shall we just stand to our feet, brother and sister? Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. We know what that weary means. We saw the meanings of the Greek and all that, what it means. Let's just look to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come to thee this afternoon, Lord. Yes, Lord, we do get weary, really tired. And Lord, but we just want to look to Calvary. We just want to look to you, your precious one, what you had to go through. You got weary when you took our burden. You died for us, for our sins and backslidings, all those horrible things in our nature, you did it for us. Lord, would you help us today? Help us, Lord, to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. We ask this blessing in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's that? How does that start? The Lord's my rock, sister. 469. Redemption. Four, six, nine, and redemption. Is that there, Sister Leah? Rock in a weary land. Shelter in the time of storm. Is that there, Sister Leah? She's doing a very good job. She doesn't know all these old hymns. The Lord's our Him we hide and shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land. Shelter in the time of storm. Shade by day, defense by night. Shelter in the time of storm. The fields are loud, no fields are dry. Shelter in the time of storm. Let's sing now. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land.
I give all praise and glory to his name. I thank you, Father God, for the light of this world that shines with each and every one of us that's here this afternoon. Lord, I give you all praise and glory for the work that you are doing within us, for the blessings of our families, for our loved ones, Father. For we give you all praise and glory. For we thank you, Father God, for your healing power, for the storm that passes by. Lord, we give praise for you, for we thank you, Father God, for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father God, for your healing power over our loved ones, our families, and for the blessing of us for this whole week, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We give all praise and glory to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.